The fates and the fortunes of a few. Herman Cain looks like he's going to say goodbye. He's reconsidering his campaign. He canceled a big private New York City dinner with some what you would call media elite, while Newt Gingrich, his fates and fortunes are on the rise. He tops a new Gallup poll. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. That's where we start. Politics, politics, politics. Who could be president? Will it be the current guy occupying 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? Speaking of approval ratings, he's about 43 if you look at those Gallup numbers. While you have Newt Gingrich for the Republicans tying or going beyond Mitt Romney, and it's still a long way to go, especially when you talk about the GOP, because we haven't even come into primary season yet. That happens at the beginning of January. Now we may see the first candidate drop out in Herman Cain. Too much with this woman saying that she had a 13-year affair with Cain, met him on the road, all that stuff, all this salacious details that are falling out, the phone records and whatnot. And the money's drying up for Herman Cain because now the people who have invested in him are starting to back off. And that signals, why am I doing this anymore? So I think it's a matter of probably just days before they decide, or he decides to say, adios, I'm deep sixing this. But he'll pop up someplace else, trust me. If it's not this upcoming year, it'll probably be somewhere down the line. As a commentator, that might happen for him, but I don't see him staying in the race. American Airlines finally did the inevitable. They decided to go bankrupt. The stock, wow, if you were a day trader, you watched it really just whew, hit the floor. It dropped 85% to 20 cents a share. When I looked at it, it was 20 cents a share. So I got a bunch of emails from people all over the country, our listeners in Connecticut and Illinois and in New York and in Texas. I got five emails from people that were taking trips at Christmas that were concerned because of this bankruptcy that they wouldn't be able to get their flights. All the tickets are going to be honored. You don't have to worry about that. The future of the airline, they're trying to reassure everybody that it's all okay, and that's in question. But no tickets. You don't have to worry about that. In fact, the new CEO of the company, if you will, Tom Horton, had to reassure everybody. And our pal Denny Kelly made the national news with his two cents on who it really would affect.
That was a very difficult decision made by our board last night, in fact. But I think it's the right decision at the right time for our company to move it forward. All of our largest competitors have taken this path, some more than once. The path ahead will be hard, but it's a well-worn path, and we will make the company successful. The future on the other side of this restructuring, we think, is very bright. We are now at a point where it's time to turn the page and move forward. Circumstances have changed, and it's time for us to move the company forward, and that's what we're going to do.
When they go in and then they file bankruptcy, then American can set the employee contracts anywhere they want. I don't think the traveling public will notice that much difference. I mean, there'll be fewer flights, and some of the flights and some of the destinations that are not very popular will probably be cut back or maybe eliminated. There'll probably be fewer flights. And I would think that the employees of American would be a little bit stunned, and they may not have the attitude that, you know, that you might want. But the consumer themselves are probably not going to be affected that much.
All right, so breathe a sigh of relief. Don't worry. If you have tickets, that part's going to be okay. If you work for the airline, as Denny Kelly says, that's a whole different story. Andrew in Texas, you're our leadoff man. Hey, Andrew. All right, let's move to Jay. Jay takes the place of Andrew. Andrew, if you call back, we'll give you a free pass. Hey, it's better than the fast pass at Disneyland. Hey, Jay, how are you?
Good to be on with you, Kate. How are you doing tonight?
Good, buddy.
Hey, American Airlines, they're filing Chapter 11. They're just reorganizing. They're sitting on $300 billion in cash at hand, so it's not like they're going broke. But anyway, I want to talk a little football, a little college football, if you don't mind.
Yeah,
It looks like it's lining up to be number one versus number two of a rematch for LSU-Alabama.
Yeah.
I got a problem with that. You think back a few years back when Michigan was number one, Ohio State was number two, and then Ohio State squeaked by them and then pulled out the number one spot if Michigan went to the number two spot, but they didn't let them play each other for the championship.
Yeah.
Why is it okay now and it wasn't okay then?
Yeah, I agree with you. I wrote a book called Level the Playing Field this past year. A couple of months ago it came out. And in the book I talk about that. I talk about college football, how ridiculous it is that you can't really have this legitimate debate about who's number one and who's number two, because often it doesn't come out that way. I don't like the BCS, and they have to figure out a way to set up some kind of a playoff system.
Right, I agree. Hey, I think this field, this presidential field right now, it's so crazy. I think if Sarah Palin was to jump in right now, she'd go straight to the top.
Oh, she would definitely float to the top, at least for a while. Absolutely. I agree. She's not going to do it, though. Yeah.
I know, but this would be the time if she was to do it. Have you had any winners on your nail the score?
No. We have, what, 5 weeks left? Am I right? Is it 5 weeks? We have 5 weeks left of football, so we hope that somebody does win. It'd be a perfect time to win in the holidays. Maybe we will. People are coming close. And we're reminding everybody that we do nail the score on Friday morning in our third hour, because everybody's listening to us, of course, in different time zones. So just keep that in mind. Maybe we'll get lucky.
Yeah, I'm actually on my way back tonight, so I had a breakdown. I'm in a rental. Yeah, so I'm renting this stupid Ryder truck, and I actually just switched runs for the week with a guy. Until I get mine straightened out, then I'll be back on my normal. But when I first dialed in, I'm listening to reruns of Neil Bortz. I'm like, what the heck's going on here? Where's Kate Delaney at? Dang it. So I was like, what happened to your affiliate? He's like, oh, you're just now coming on here. I was like, oh, okay, so we're all straight now. I'm back getting my fix.
That's right. Lexington, Kentucky, we love it. WVLK. Hey, thanks, and you take care in that rental situation there. Ooh, I have a horror story about a Ryder truck. I don't know if it was really the Ryder truck's fault or the guys that were helping me move, but I was moving from El Paso to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and two good friends, one was a photographer because I worked in television news, John Montgomery was his name, and my other pal, Marvin Martinez, were helping me move, like I said. So they loaded up the truck. They wouldn't let me do very much. And you get in the truck and you have the two tanks, you know, where you have to flip them over. So when they were arguing about when you had to flip the tank over, when you had to flip the switch, and they didn't flip it soon enough. So what happened is we broke down because then we're out of gas, and Marvin comes up with this brilliant idea. There's a way to jump it. There's a way to light it, and you'll be able to get that gas into the other tank. And sure enough, they started a fire in the cab. Uh-huh. Luckily, I wasn't in the truck when that happened, but imagine explaining that when you turn it in. What happened to the front of the Ryder truck? Well, we had this fire. We were arguing about how much gas was left in the one tank. Kicking the can down the road. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Nick Wadena with Midas Resources. If you have an IRA or 401k, did you know you can turn that nest egg into a physical gold and silver nest egg? Do you know what kind of specific precious metals are allowed by law to be in retirement accounts? Did you know that you can take physical delivery of these precious metals? Would you like to know more? It's a fact. Stocks and mutual funds have been a wild ride, and many people's retirement funds have taken large hits. If you put $100,000 in gold in January of 2009, it would be worth over $200,000 today. If you put $100,000 in silver, then it would be worth over $300,000 today. As bailouts for banks and the seemingly endless printing of money continues worldwide, the value of the dollar could decline further, in turn possibly pushing gold and silver much, much higher. Protect what you work so hard for. Call me, Nick Wadena, 1-800-686-2237, extension 343, and learn what your options are. Again, that's 1-800-686-2237, extension 343. Once again, 1-800-686-2237, extension 343.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
Coming up, we're going to check the mail. Yeah, we're making a mail run while we still can here on ATN. I guess we're doing the virtual mail thing, so I'm kind of joking about the U.S. Postal Service. If you like walking to your mailbox, enjoy the view for now, because eventually we're not going to be doing that. I predict that within a year we're not going to have mail. We're not going to mail on Saturdays. We're not going to go and check the mailbox on the weekend. Whew. Maybe that's good. So if you get any bad news, you have to wait to get it on Monday. Maybe in a way, theoretically, maybe that is good. The whole bills, notification that you're being foreclosed on or some other such thing. But then it also delays, I guess, the good news too. The good news for some in the Republican bunch is now there will probably be one less Herman Cain. It seems almost inevitable, like I said at the top, that he'll dump out of the race because he's getting pummeled as far as the economics of fundraising is concerned. The coffers are dry, and all the excitement that was happening with Herman Cain, the balloon has burst, especially with this last thing that's happened with Ginger White, the Atlanta businesswoman who said she's been fooling around with him for 13 years. Mm. Andrew in Texas, hello.
Hi, Kay. Andrew, just keeping it real and listening to you tonight. I don't always agree with everything Tomas says, but I have to agree with him tonight. I'm from Texas, And some of the things that comes out of Perry's mouth, I'm just like, oh, my God, this guy's embarrassing us again. I just don't understand him and Bush. And I don't know if you remember Clemens, too, years
yes.
back.
Yes, yes.
You remember him? Yeah,
yes.
You know, and remember when the Dixie Chicks got in trouble for talking about Bush and this cronyism,
yes.
everything that was going on?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like the Dixie Chicks too. They're cool. They're a good group. They're so arrogant. Cause I remember when I used to go to UT, these guys are arrogant. I used to work at the state capitol as a messenger many years ago. And I used to see these guys walking around and they just, they're really arrogant. And
you mean, wait a second. Like, you mean the governors like Governor Perry and before that Governor Bush before he became president, you thought walking around he's is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, well, I'm talking about like Clemens because I remember Clemens back in the day. But and I remember when they used to ask him questions. You remember that FMU scandal?
Yes. Pay to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the pay for play, and he
mm-hmm.
was involved in that because he was on the Board of Regents, if I remember correctly, and he avoided all the questions. He knew what was going on, and he just denied it all. And there's some documentaries that have been drawn up. But my point is that these guys are just dumb and dumber. And I feel that a lot of it has to do because they're just so arrogant. And Texas is this kind of place to where I've lived here a long time, but I have lived in other states also. But Texas is so diversified. So what I mean by that is that there's so many ways to make money here. We got agriculture. We got high tech. We have the coastline.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have oil. We have so many things here that we can make money for. Therefore, also these politicians, there's more ways for them to be corrupt too. So I have to agree with Tomas 100% this time that our governors are just so dingy. I mean, I don't know.
I love that. See, because it's okay. I wanted somebody from Texas to call in and either defend or nail the governors. I mean, here's what I'll say though, Andrew. I like Bush as a person. He was a good guy. I spent a lot of time around him with the ball team, and I ran into him before I was even doing any kind of a radio show, and he was a charming kind of guy. He remembered people's names and that kind of stuff. I mean, it doesn't mean that he didn't put his foot in his mouth and say silly things, and you can nail him for that, definitely. But I don't think he was one. I wouldn't put him in the arrogant pack, honestly. Not if you even just met him. If you were at some function and you went up to him, he would talk to you. He was that aw shucks kind of guy in a way. Not like Perry. I don't think Perry's that way, but yeah. But they both have, the thing with not knowing that you vote, making that comment about 21 and vote, I mean, give me a break.
Well, you know, I'm sure Bush is a great guy to be around with. He's probably the kind of guy you want to be buddy-buddy with, but
yeah.
He's a real person there to be president. I mean, he was right on his dad's coattails. And
yeah.
You have to remember also that his daughters, you remember Jenna Bush and
yeah.
his other daughter, how they got arrested, not once, but twice, I think, or something like this, for trying to pass fake IDs
yes.
downtown
uh-huh.
on the street for trying to get. And I feel that a lot of that had to do with the examples that he was leading, because Daddy, I think what, Daddy got arrested for DWI over there in Connecticut, but he made it, his money and power made that DWI go away. And, you know, he's admitted to partying and doing, doing some drugs and,
yeah.
He admitted to some of that stuff. And, so, you know, I don't think he was the perfect example, you know, for, to be a president and things like that, but I'm not defending him. I'm sure there were some Republican governors in the past that were good. But, hey, I wanted to just touch base. You know, I'm a Raider fan, and you see my Raiders? They did all right against them Bears.
Oh, I picked the Raiders. I'm in a football pool, and I picked the Raiders. I was very happy to see that. Of course, Cutler was out. But, no, I think the Raiders are starting to settle in with Palmer. I like the Raiders. I like the Raiders' chances now to finish out the season pretty strong.
I mean, Gadkowski kicked. Six field goals.
I know, six. Do you love that? I said the other night when we were playing the highlights, I said, it only takes a foot or two because that's what happened. But it worked. It worked for them. You know, the Cowboys won a game like that, and look where the Cowboys now are on the top of the NFC East. And I think the Raiders are getting it together slowly. I do. I think the Raiders will be there in the end. At least they're going to finish out strong anyway. Raider fan in Texas. Ugh.
Yeah, if you're going to do great, it's always better to do great in the second half. I hope they do. I remember the first game of the season, if you remember, Janikowski tied the record for the longest field goal. I think it was 63 or 64 yards when he kicked that field goal. I forgot against who it was, but I think it was Monday night.
Yeah, Janikowski, no doubt is a great kicker. Like you said, 6 field goals this last time around. We're losing you there. Thanks for the call. But the Raiders they've got the same record that the Cowboys have, different divisions, but they're 7-4. And like I said, it's weird when you know, that's why it's so different when you actually watch the games versus looking at box scores and whatnot. Because if you just looked at the box scores, you would think, well, what happened there? Palmer had over 300 yards, but no touchdowns. And then you look at the one touchdown rushing, that was it. And it was all about, obviously, adding up the points. It was all about the field goals. You saw a bunch of sixes. You know, like Herman Cain, 999 for the Raiders in the first three quarters. It was 6-6-6. There's something to that. Because you're all bringing up football, again, don't forget about Nail the Score. I already mentioned it, but I'll say it again. It's going to be here before you know it, Friday in our third hour. You don't have to know anything about football. Just call in and guess which team of the two teams that are playing each other in our game of the week is going to win and what you think the final score is going to be. And I'll tell you, you think it would be almost easy, but it's anything but easy. It's like looking at these scores. If you had watched what happened on Turkey Day, you see the Cowboys beat the Dolphins 20-19, or the first game, which was a boring game, the Packers 27-15. So the finishes are crazy. Even the night game that night didn't turn out the way I thought it would, but the score was weird. 16-6, where sometimes you have missed points or you have 2-point conversions, but we're seeing some what I would call kind of oddball scores anyway. Coming up here on America Tonight, like I said, we are definitely going to check the mailbag because it is overflowing once again. A lot of people with thoughts on, can you believe it? Of course, Herman Cain, but it's not all about Herman Cain. Other things are tripping the switch for many of you across America, including our man Dennis McMahon in Vermont. He emails the show. He gets the award for emailing the show the most, and Dennis always has some interesting things to say. Check it out this time. We're going to be talking about what's going on overseas. So we're hitting the mail next.
Love easy targets, like a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with Fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television, so from outside it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, comes with AC adapter, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your Fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional Fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and give one or more for Christmas. Now through Christmas, get free standard shipping on any quantity Fake TV purchase. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. Faketv.com, the burglar deterrent.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Solar power.
Solar power.
Hand crank power.
Hand crank power.
Radio power.
Radio power.
The goods you want, the good deals you need to power up your survival are at 21stCenturyGoods.com. In our solar department, you'll find solar generator kits, solar lanterns, flashlights, radios, and solar cell phone and laptop chargers. 21stCenturyGoods.com is your hand crank headquarters for everything from generators to flashlights to emergency, weather, and shortwave radios by Grundig and Kato. Big brand names and big deals. Like this. Get a free solar flashlight with every order over $75. But hurry, offer ends soon. Go to 21stCenturyGoods.com, spelled the number 2, the number 1, ST, CenturyGoods.com. That's 21stCenturyGoods.com or call 866-999-8422. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Power up your survival.
Storable foods, check. Water filters, check. Gold and silver, check. Tactical gear, check. What's missing from your survival checklist? An essential that should not be taken for granted. Storable vitamins and nutritional supplements. Since many foods do not contain the essential micronutrients your body needs, you need Survival RX, the world's first ultra-long-term storable vitamins and nutritional supplements. How long? Survival RX products have a shelf life of up to 30 years, thanks to triple nitrogen flushing for guaranteed freshness. Go to SurvivalRx.com for our complete product list, including powdered milk and whey protein isolate. And remember, November is Nuclear Disaster Preparedness Month at SurvivalRx.com. With every order until November 30th, you will receive a free bottle of potassium iodate. Just enter coupon code RADIO. Go to SurvivalRx.com. That's Survival, the letter R, the letter X.com. Add SurvivalRx.com to your preparedness checklist today.
Seriously, you always wow me with your comments that come out on a whole bunch of different subjects, things that we're talking about and things that maybe we haven't really talked about. I always say this, and I mean it. If you want to vent, you can vent here. And if you can't throw in your 2 cents by picking up the phone at 800-259-5791, because those are the digits, then shoot me an email. Just go to americatonight.net, drop down to the Gmail, email, and you're in, and a lot of you have done that, have sent all kinds of things and sounded off on all kinds of things, too. And don't forget, we're bringing back the daily salute. So something amazing is happening in your backyard where somebody deserves a salute, meaning they've done something so giving and unselfish and whatever, and they're not looking for recognition, but you think it'd be cool to mention them, whether they're in Lexington, Kentucky, or they're in Vermont, or Dallas, Texas, or Connecticut, or New Jersey, wherever this happens to be. We want to hear from you. Definitely participate in that. I want to know what's going on in all the backyards of all of our listeners. So, with that being said, let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Ah, thank you very much. I don't know why. Can I hear that again one more time?
You have mail, mistress.
I don't know. It's something about being called a mistress, I guess. I think that's what it is. So, here's one for you. You know, we were talking about Nail the Score. Charles Barnett says, hello, Kate, I missed the show. Miss Nail the Score. I was sure to win this year. Surgery has sidelined me, but I will return. I will give you a bonus. Cincy 31, Pittsburgh 27. I think that'd be a shocker, huh? The Bengals call Heinz Field their home away from home, and recent history supports it. Banged up 43 and a lower load on 86 has cut the heart out of the team. Oh, yeah. Extra Drew Brees cuts up Detroit like a cheap steak. New Orleans 45, Detroit 17. He is very clever. Be well and join us again for Nail the Score, Charles. Appreciate that. All right, let's move on to a couple of others as well. Let's see. Here is one from... It's the click of the mouse that gets me every time. Here's one from Dennis McMahon, who, like I said, talks about a whole bunch of different things when he emails us. This time around from WVMT, he says, we must restore relations with our former Cold War ally, Pakistan, and not spend any more effort in Afghanistan, which is not in our regional or international interests. We have to send those forces and resources to Iraq to shore up our base position in that region. I'd agree with that because there's the base there, and it has to be secure. And he says, secure preferential energy guarantees, war reparations, and expenses of liberation and occupation from the present and future Iraqi civilian governments. Bravo. Yeah, where is that? I say that all the time. Where are the war reparations after all the money that we dumped into that country? Let's get it going. Afghanistan bedeviled the British, this is Dennis again, in the 19th century, the Russians in the 20th, and the U.S. in the 21st. He's right. Whatever Republican candidate pledges to restore American energy and economic security as part and parcel of their defense and war policies, they should be the nominee. So that last part, he says, restore American energy and economic security as part of defense and war policies. He thinks that's the person. And I think so, too. That should be part of what is their mantra, what we're hearing, what they're talking about, because we need economic security. And certainly, it's when we talk about American energy, you know, the oil, getting the oil out of the ground. I was watching something the other day as I'm trying to do a special on oil, and I was watching something the other day in this research and reading some stuff about everybody keeps talking about Alaska and drilling, and one of two heads of various oil companies said, you know, it's great that we say about drilling in Alaska and the argument over Anwar and all that, except for that you have to remember we have drilled and gotten nothing as well. So just because you can drill doesn't mean you're going to necessarily hit oil. And then we have this argument over the Keystone Pipeline. And I don't know how to put it any plainer than this. And every single one of us, you have to think about it. When you have environmentalists on one side and people screaming about drilling and offshore drilling and everything related to oil and keeping it so far out of sight and not digging new spots and not giving new leases and not doing all that stuff. The problem is, my friends, the machine that you are getting into every day and driving is powered by oil. Unless you have one of those few electric cars, this is not a widespread thing, nor affordable, nor going to happen widespread anytime soon. So when I say we're going to all be on bicycles, I am not joking. We have to be serious about our energy needs and the current situation we're in and looking down the road. Every time a new president comes in, one of the things that's discussed is, what's the energy policy going to be? And then they'll have a State of the Union address and talk about all kinds of stuff and how we need to have kids that are better in math and science and programs like that in the future. And we have to have people that can help us go green and grow the green agenda. But then we have situations like Solyndra where they can't even keep up, but yet they get a guaranteed loan from the government. And the solar panels are being sold cheaper in China. So if we're going green or we're trying to find those alternatives, we're doing a very poor job of it, a very poor job of it. All right, let's move on to something else. This is from John Von G. I'm saying Von G because I don't want to butcher his last name. Oh, I hate it when people butcher people's names. So, John, I'm not going to even try. Kate, wonderful to hear your voice. Herman Cain is definitely overdone. Unfortunately, it's a combination of unsubstantiated allegations and a little trouble with his explanations and a lot of bad press. Yeah, he's gotten some good press, too. He was riding high on what happened in Florida, the debates, and people saying that he, you know, he was rising through the ranks. They like what he said. He's authentic. He got some good press in there, too. Certainly not with any of this female trouble, whether it was the sexual harassment stuff or now this woman. No, he's not getting good press on that. The explanations, absolutely, you're right. John also says, I'll probably be forced to move to Mr. Gingrich or Mr. Paul. Sadness. And he says, keep up the good work, John. Yeah, you know what? When you really like what you're hearing, you really start to follow a candidate, isn't it brutal when the bubble is burst? Whether you think it should be or not. Because if you really get into politics and you really just start to rally your mind around who you think should be this person that could be the leader of the free world, and you really want them to get in there, roll up their sleeves and go for it and have more people want to vote for them and see them rise in the polls, you get sucked into the sort of the movement. That's what happens. You know, that's what happened with Bill Clinton the first time around. That's what happened with Barack Obama. He became that rock star when he went to the college campuses, especially. He absolutely found friends among the, yes, 18 and older who could vote, Rick Perry. So, and Cain started to find his groove in Florida, and it made it kind of exciting to watch what he was saying and how he would diffuse things, and then, boy, it just unraveled quickly for Cain. There's no way he hangs in this, and so who do you move to if you were supporting Cain, like so many people listening to America Tonight were, and a lot of people were also going for Ron Paul. Gingrich is the man of the moment. Gingrich is the political guy, and Gingrich is the person who's giving Mitt Romney the most trouble at this point. But I think when you see the primaries, that's where some of this will shake out. And certainly by the end of the spring and into June, done deal. Some things definitely better shape up then. Because remember, whoever on the Republican side of things is running, you're running against, forget the whole Obama like, don't like, ineffective, whatever your thoughts are. He is the incumbent guy. He's had the office for 4 years, for better or worse. So he's also running on some momentum. Will the same people that voted for Barack Obama before vote for him again? What happens to the ever-important independents? Because now even people who have been lifelong Republicans or even some lifelong Democrats, certainly some lifelong Democrats, don't like some of the things that they've seen, so they go the independent route and vote for the people that they like, even if they continue to mostly stay within the people in their party, let's say. So the independent vote is crucial in 2012, crucial. Will a lot of those people turn their back on Obama this time around? The Republicans have to have not only the strong front runner in the pack that emerges, but they have to have a good undercard. Who's that VP that can help when you're going down the stretch and you have to go in some of those swing states? And who's got votes in their back pocket, in other words, that can help with the electoral votes, that can help rally the crowds up? That's key to whoever gets the nomination for the Republicans.
The perfect water for drinking, bathing, and cleaning, right at your fingertips? Yes, you can now have the most powerful water ionizer on the market for less than half the price of competitors. The Genesis Platinum Water Ionizer from GibsonsHealth.com creates the perfect drinking water of 9.5 pH, automatically cleans every time you use it, and even tells you when to change filters. Other 7-plate water ionizers are priced at $2,000 or even $3,000, but the Genesis Platinum is only $16.95. Get yours today at GibsonsHealth.com. Under Nutritionals, be sure to click on Essential Oils for Aromatic Liquids Extracted from a Broad Range of Flowers, Stems, Seeds, and Bark. And to really balance your body, click on Go Green, the most complete green drink available, necessary for survival. All this and more are found at GibsonsHealth.com. Call 800-388-6844. That's 800-388-6844 or GibsonsHealth.com. Healthful living since 1974.
Discover a natural way to experience cleaner, healthier indoor air without expensive filters and high-priced machines. Discover what healthcare professionals have known for decades. Salt ionizes and purifies indoor air. That's why you need to visit SilverSkyImports.com. SilverSkyImports.com offers a wide assortment of Himalayan crystal salt lamps, handcrafted from salt crystals that are millions of years old, contain healthy ions that eliminate odor, reduce bacteria, and can even help allergy and asthma sufferers, which means you and your family will breathe better, sleep sounder, and have more energy. These salt lamps are available in stunning, natural colors and shapes to accent any home or office, are environmentally friendly, and best of all, they're affordable. And don't forget SilverSkyImports.com. SilverSkyImports.com also carries gourmet and bath salts. Order today at SilverSkyImports.com or call 800-494-1369. That's 800-494-1369. Breathe easier, feel better, live healthier at SilverSkyImports.com.
Attention GCN listeners, do you have a Patriot on your Christmas list that's nearly impossible to shop for? How would you like the ability to get top-of-the-line, hard-to-find gifts at equally hard-to-beat prices without leaving the comfort of your home? Why fight the crowd? Simply log on to your computer for great gifts and deals for the off-the-grid enthusiast in your family. At offthegridchristmas.com, you'll find great prices on the most popular off-the-grid gifts available today. At offthegridchristmas.com, you'll find unbeatable deals on emergency backup power, herb and vegetable seeds, dehydrated foods, emergency evacuation packs, solar ovens, gun safes, and a host of truly unique stocking stuffers. In these hard times, why not give a gift that really counts, a gift that could truly make a difference? Go to offthegridchristmas.com and our Christmas video highlighting perfect gifts for the off-the-grid fans in your family. Unbeatable gear, unbeatable prices, no more searching. Offthegridchristmas.com. That's offthegridchristmas.com.
ATN, as usual, we're kicking it all over the place, and you can join in the conversation. 800-259-5791. Let's head out to Betty in Kentucky. Hey, Betty.
Hey, Kate. How are you?
I'm good. How have you been doing?
I'm good, thanks.
Good.
I'm just wondering, what is the deadline, say, for if a candidate wanted to run? Because I'm not real enthusiastic about any of the Republican candidates. I'm not enthusiastic about reelecting President Obama. So, you know, I'm thinking at the last minute somebody's going to come in that's really going to just, you know, be star quality. But I don't know who.
Here's the thing that can happen, Betty. So you have these primaries. New Hampshire, you have the Iowa caucuses, I guess, first. Then you have New Hampshire, and then you go down the list of the states and the primaries. Somebody could jump into it right now. I mean, Governor Christie, his name keeps popping up from New Jersey, although he says, no, I don't want to run.
He wouldn't be a good one either. And the person, I mean, I'm not impressed with any of them. Also, I wondered if, let's just say tomorrow, the Republican Party had a candidate that, you know, they entered and everyone was just wild about. Okay, just like Herman Cain, everyone was wild about him at first and, you know, how Sarah Palin used to be.
Right.
So they put someone in there and everyone is just going nuts. So what would Barack Obama do? Would Hillary Clinton run? I mean, what would they just say, well, we'll just give it to the Republicans? I mean,
oh, no, 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 no. No Democratic strategist would ever say, let's just give it to the Republicans. The thing is that your scenario that you're painting is a little far-fetched, but I understand what you're saying. I love playing the if game. I'm big on this. I bug everyone with the if game. And so if that were to happen, because people have already talked about that. People have talked about, well, what if Hillary Clinton was there? Because wouldn't Hillary Clinton be more electable than Obama? A lot of people aren't so happy. Even a lot of the Democrats that wanted him the first time around would rather have seen her. Or she would have been better. Or some Republicans have said that. But it's not going to happen. She said there's no way she would run. She wants to. She's done. She's done with the whole political thing, so that's not going to happen. Could they possibly do that? Sure, anything's possible. You could do it. But they're not going to, usually with a president who's got approval ratings of at least 40 and whatnot, and plus he's the incumbent guys who run, and the Democrats are backing him.
I see.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I just thought, well, there's something that's got to happen because it just, everything just seems ho-hum.
You know what? That's so true, isn't it? It does feel ho-hum. That's a good way to put it. Betty, you take care of yourself. It's good to hear from you.
Thank you.
It does feel like that. So she doesn't like any of the candidates that are out there and doesn't feel like any of them are the right ones, any of them. If you had a choice, if you could just put someone in there, if you could say, like she's saying, okay, what if somebody just comes out of left field, boom, and they're exciting, and there's massive momentum, and it's like a Hollywood movie, and you know, the Democrats are floored, and what are they going to do? And Barack Obama's approval ratings are in the 20s. Well, then he would be in trouble, and then there would be some serious discussion, and then you would really have a Democratic convention that would be exciting because there'd be some question marks because he still has to get, you know, all the electoral votes, which he will now with where he is. But who would the person be if I could just pluck someone out of thin air and say this is the guy, or this is the woman, this is who should do it. I can't even think. I say this all the time. Where are the best and the brightest? Because there are those people. They don't want to run. They see what happens when you run. You get torn apart more than the Thanksgiving Day turkey by an amateur carver. And with the world we live in now, you're just under that microscope. There's no question about it. I don't know. I liked Governor Christie originally, but then as we started to dig deeper, he wasn't the guy that I would have said either. And of course, some of the other people that were the up and comers in the Republican Party, like Mark Stanford, for example, the former governor of South Carolina, well, he tanked that with everything that happened with him. When as governor of South Carolina, remember that whole thing, I'm hiking on the Appalachian Trail, but really he was fooling around with a woman in Brazil. So we've seen some disgraced Republican would-have-been future party-type leaders that might have jettisoned into that role. I also liked Bobby Jindal, the governor of Louisiana, but he didn't want it. He doesn't want it. He wants to focus on Louisiana, so he's not the guy. Newt Gingrich seems to be emerging along with Mitt Romney, whether you like Mitt or not. He seems to be the guy that's the establishment type anyway so far because of his business acumen. And then you've got Newt Gingrich because of the politics in his background, the knowledge that he has of many of the main issues. He seems to be pretty deft on his feet when he's bombarded by all these questions. That's why we're seeing that he's starting to really move to the top of the pile. Maybe Betty's right. Maybe all of a sudden a rock star emerges. Maybe that does happen. And when would that happen? does somebody jump in? They got to jump in here soon because with the primaries and everything, that's got to happen so that people have time to digest who the person is, I would think, anyway. Roger Madden has some interesting commentaries. I really enjoy a lot of what Roger has done for us this past year. We've been airing some of them. In this one, he talks about actually pretty upfront, about his own service to the country in Vietnam. Take a listen.
The Army medical officer was searching for my name and found it. Madden, he barked. One Y. What's one Y, sir? You can't see crap out of your right eye. We'll call you when we need you, with a somewhat softer voice. And I was gone. This is Roger Madden, and this is what I found. The year was 1968, and the Vietnam War was raging. I had already served my country for 2 years in the Peace Corps, and now I was being called to serve again in the War Corps. American streets were on fire, and the Viet Cong flag, not the American flag, was flying at the head of every protest march. Mothers and fathers knew that their sons were going off to fight a war that had more to do with President Johnson's progressive desire to keep the dollars flowing into his Great Society program than to beat the communists in some far-flung Asian redoubt. Ships from all over the world, including our own allies, were porting into North Vietnam's Haiphong Harbor and unloading material designed to kill and maim our young American boys. President Johnson refused to ratchet up the war and bomb the harbor for fear of bringing in the Chinese, but worse, by dedicating the necessary resources in developing a winning strategy to beat the Viet Cong quickly and decisively, he would diminish his Great Society program and thereby wound him politically. Mothers and fathers of draft-age sons sensed this corruption and did everything they could to keep them safe and away from the raging battle. And the disquieting and troubling question I asked myself 43 years ago, walking away from that recruiting station at Fort Hamilton, Brooklyn, New York, and into my life, is the question I ask myself today. What stopped me from saying to that medical officer, "You need me now"? This is Roger Madden, and that's what I think.
Wow, how interesting. There are tales of that from many different people who tried to serve and for whatever reason medically they couldn't. But you understand his analogy of what he's talking about there. And speaking of being needed, are we still needed in Afghanistan? That's the big burning question that has to be answered now with the situation in Pakistan, because the U.S. image in Pakistan, absolutely could not be worse. Not that you don't see images of people burning American flags, certainly in other countries in the Middle East, etc., but you're really seeing that happen now the last couple of days. And Pakistan is saying forget about it, and they're not bringing the supplies in like they were, the major route that would go through the area of Afghanistan, one of the thorniest areas. So that's cut off the U.S. supplies and NATO supplies. This is huge. This may be one of the biggest stories that's not getting a lot of attention as to what are we going to do here. What's the relationship going to be ultimately between the U.S. government and Pakistan's government? It couldn't be worse at this point. In my opinion, Pakistan is where we really should have been and skipped over Afghanistan.